Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our Bible prophecy update titled, The Gathering Anti-Israel Storm. The Bible predicted the conditions prevailing at the time of the Great Tribulation, and we are seeing those conditions prevail in our present day. The stage is being set, and these are the last days. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you may send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can write to us with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry and address those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com and use the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or go to bbfohio.com on your phone using the mobile site and use the drop-down menu. Just click on PayPal donations. We do not solicit financial contributions, but are providing this information for your convenience. And we want to remind you that you can listen to our Bible studies along with dozens of hymns featuring the congregational singing of Bible Believers Fellowship in Worthington, Ohio, anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to bbfohioradio.com. Now we begin this Bible prophecy update titled, The Gathering Anti-Israel Storm. This is part one.
All right.
Of two.
Start with a current events update.
Ever wonder what keeps U.S. enemies from striking us? And a lot of times the first thing people point out are nukes. And I've always said, I don't think that's really it, because they could strike us and it would not legitimize a nuclear response. In other words, when Afghanistan, for example, was housing the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and we knew that what's-his-face, Osama bin Laden, was there, we didn't nuke him. See what I'm saying? And that's why I believe that they and others have struck us like that, because they know we're not going to nuke them. But there's been something keep a lot of these guys at bay. And so I would argue, as some others would, that it's not actually the nukes, but it's weapons like this one described in this little
report.
New
York Times best-selling author and reporter Ronald Kessler told One American News that the Pentagon's new Champ microwave missile is an overlooked game changer that can instantly neutralize the offensive military capabilities of Iran and North Korea.
It really is a breakthrough on the level of a nuclear weapon in terms of what it can do. North Korea could be totally wiped out in terms of its military without killing anybody.
Using high-powered microwave technology, the Champ missile can physically zap enemy computer and weapon systems without detection by enemy radar.
It will just neutralize nuclear test sites, command centers, planes. It will zap any radar system that might detect the missile. So the opposing side doesn't even know that this missile is coming in and can't take it out.
The Champ missile system, developed by Boeing's Phantom Works for the U.S. Air Force, was first successfully tested in 2012. It was quietly unveiled in 2006.
It's been proceeding secretly under the Air Force. It actually was put on hold under the Obama administration because of budget cuts.
But the Champ isn't the first of its kind. Electronic warfare weaponry has existed since the 1960s. The EA-6B Prowler, for instance, could evade radar and jam enemy communications. But the new Champ system is of far greater concern to America's enemies.
For it to be used in this blanket way to actually wipe out a whole military is totally unique.
More importantly, shielding against this missile, says Kessler, is futile.
Of course, the other side would try to shield their equipment. They would try to have a control center and command center underground. But even then, this missile can wipe out installations underground.
So far,
Champ's missile technology is exclusive to the United States, and according to Kessler, is a silver bullet for dealing with North Korea and Iran. Chanel Leon, One American News, Washington.
OANN.com online, and One American News, they got some great stuff on their website. But it's different from the EMP. The electromagnetic pulse is a nuclear weapon. And you would not only have the desired effect, but you'd also have radiation and fallout. So this weapon doesn't include that problem. And so the question some might ask as we talk about this, what does this have to do with the Bible? Well, it's prophecy. In various passages, I'm going to just show you a couple as a reminder. You see this in Revelation 14:20, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles. Questions have been asked since the dawn of the automobile and modern transportation. Why are there so many references to horses in Armageddon? Well, if you now, our enemies would probably still use EMPs, but if we were using these weapons and EMPs or whatever, then most of your vehicles won't run. So you're going to go back to horses and camels, and that's just one example. And there's also biblical evidence, other biblical evidence, I should say, during Great Tribulation, that mankind is basically blown back into the dark age. And that's why it may start out as a computer chip and computerized system with the Antichrist. But if you look and remember, we talked about this in our study of Revelation 20. Verse 4 ends by saying, referring to those who neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, which would not be a chip. Now there's reference to having right there, or in their hands. So a foolproof system, which I guarantee you the Mark of the Beast will include, is a computerized system with a physical alternative if that system goes down. And folks, they're going to do that out of necessity, because right now the city of Baltimore, for example, their systems have been hacked and are shut down. And they don't even have 911 service because they're being held hostage by a group of hackers who are saying, you give us such and such amount of money or we're going to blow your system up. Yeah, they want it in Bitcoin because it's they don't want it in marked bills, that sort of thing.
Universal.
Yeah, it's universal. So that's something to keep in mind as you're the purpose of these current events updates. So, to help you think biblically and help you discern the news, not only all the fake news, but even good news reports, we need to think biblically. And how does this fit into the biblical morality? How does it fit into our families, our communities? And how does it fit into Bible prophecy? And it makes life a whole lot more interesting when you view everything through the what we used to call Bible goggles. It's like when you look at everything through the Scripture, it's like you put on Bible goggles. So, all right, let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get into our Bible study that is a Bible prophecy update. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your Word. We thank you for everyone who's made it here tonight, those who can watch online and those who will see this in the weeks and months ahead. It's our desire to help people to understand the Scripture, but it's also our desire to help people to desire and hunger for the truth. If we can motivate people and we can show people just how amazing this book is and get them to dive into the Scriptures daily and to live with that book always on their hearts and on their minds, then we will have succeeded as a ministry, as Paul said, putting people in remembrance of these things is the mark of a good ministry. So we thank you for the opportunity and ask you help us to comprehend and to retain the information you give us in our studies. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to do a Bible prophecy update. The gathering anti-Israel storm. A lot of these Bible prophecy updates are dated to some extent, so I put the date on there so people know when this stuff happened, when they're watching it in the future. And then, of course, anyone here who doesn't know what day it is, like Jenny when she got up this morning. There you go. It wasn't the calendar date. She wasn't sure what day of the week. How many of you do that? Because I do. How many of you wake up and you're like, wait a minute, what is today? You do that? Okay, we're not alone, Jenny. It's not just us who's crazy. We're surrounded by crazy people. It is the 29th. I made this on the 28th. That's why it says 28th. Oh, well, it's close enough. Yes. What day is this? I made these slides yesterday. So anyway. But the point of our study is this, and this is what has excited me as I was looking at what's been going on in the news and everything. We could be as few as 4 years away from the fulfillment of Revelation 12. Some of you were here when we studied Revelation 12. And we're going to turn there, if you would. Revelation 12. And the importance of sound Bible interpretation is provided right here in Revelation 12. There are the majority of Christian people, I know easily a majority, maybe a supermajority of maybe even 3/4 of all Christians alive on planet Earth right now have no idea what Revelation 12 is talking about. Some because it's never taught, it's never talked about, and they never read it. But there's a lot of people who try to claim that the woman in this passage is the church. And that's mostly the preterists and the replacement theology groups who make the church Israel, and Israel the church replaces Israel. There's also a lot, especially in the Catholic Church, but also I think in the Orthodox churches, who make her Mary. Try to make the woman Mary. And we know that from our studies that this is a reference to Israel, Revelation 12. So read the odd verses with me. Let's read the first five verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, I just want to say this. That goes back to Genesis, whenever Joseph had his dreams. You remember that? And his brothers got sick of the dreams and sold him into slavery. And the wonderful story of Joseph and his perseverance and faithfulness, etc., started with a dream where Israel was represented exactly like this. The stars. So go back in Genesis and read that story of Joseph. The chapter in Genesis slips my mind. Jenny, if you could look that up for me, we could reference people to that. But you can go back and read that on your own time. Verse 2 says, and she, being Israel, being with child, because Jesus came out of Israel, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Of course, we know who that red dragon is. And we talked in length about who the 7 heads refers to, the 7 mountains upon which the whore of Babylon sits, which is Vatican City, sits on one of those, sits in Rome, which is the city of 7 hills. 37. I was going to guess 36, so I would have been close. But Genesis 37, if you want to go back and read Joseph's dreams. So verse 4 says, in his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And we talked about how that through the years, these amillennial types and people who don't take the Bible in context have tried to teach that that refers to something that's happened in the past. How many of you heard this story, how Satan took a third of the angels and drew them down? Yeah, you've heard that? Yeah, and they talk about it in the past. The Bible never says anything like that happened in the past. This is the text they use. And they make it past when it's not past. It's future. Now, was there a rebellion in the past? Yes. And that's why we teach what we call the gap. And most fundamental ministries, they're all junking the King James Bible. The Ark Experience and Ken Ham down there at Answers in Genesis. Now that Henry Morris is dead, the Institute for Creation Research out in California, they're all getting rid of the King James Bible, and they're against the gap. And you'll find the gap in the fundamentalist writings before the 60s. And you'll find it in the Schofield Reference Bible, for example. And that's why it's in there, because there was a rebellion in the past. But the third angel's thing, we don't know how many angels fell with Lucifer in the past, but we know there's coming another big rebellion during the tribulation period. And that's what that refers to. And it continues and said, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. Now this is the original anti-Israel anti-Semitism. Satan wants to destroy Israel. And it says, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And you remember the Christmas story that we hear every year. We read in Matthew and Luke where that Satan tried to destroy Jesus as a baby. And he stirred up Joseph to put away Mary, which would have possibly caused her to end up being executed for adultery. If the community had found out Joseph ended the relationship with Mary because she's pregnant and he wasn't the father, under the law she was to be stoned to death. But Satan failed there because Joseph believed God and he was a just man. And so, but then after Jesus was born, by the time he's about, we talked about that. There's differences in that. I won't get in too deep into this. But Herod then tried to kill all the babies under the age of two so he could make sure he got Jesus. The slaughter of the innocents is what it's called in Bethlehem. And that's what this is talking about right here. It's referring to that. Satan trying to kill that child brought forth by Israel. And verse 5, now read that with me. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Now we've talked about how colons and semicolons will represent a period of time. And here's another example in your Bible right there. She brought forth a man-child, that's Jesus, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, but he was rejected, wasn't he? So because of that, they crucified him, he was buried, he rose again, then he ascended into heaven, and that's what it's talking about there. It jumps from his birth to his ascension in one verse. She brought forth the child who was supposed to rule, but they rejected him, therefore, semicolon, or colon, is that a colon? Just the two dots. I always get this mixed up. It's colon. And her child was caught up into God. That's in Acts chapter 1. And, to his throne. So, that lays the backdrop of what is going to happen in Revelation 12. And there's a very clear road leading there. And the next thing to happen on the road to Revelation 12 is the any moment rapture. It could happen any moment. But that has to happen before Revelation 12 happens. So then, after the rapture, some think it could be weeks, others months. It could be any amount of time, but I think it's going to be a matter of weeks or months. I don't think it's going to be years. But after the rapture, the next thing to happen, major thing to happen, is the confirmation of the covenant that we studied in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And that is what makes the tribulation period 7 years. They will confirm the covenant, and I believe that's the Mosaic covenant, the covenant, not a peace treaty, as it's taught in prophecy teachers teach all the time. It's not a peace treaty, it's a covenant, and it's not a covenant, it's the covenant. And what's the covenant? The Mosaic covenant. And so the Mosaic covenant, I believe, is what's confirmed, and that's what allows them to build the temple and offer all the sacrifice according to the Mosaic covenant. Well, that happens, and then you got the countdown. Nothing works, so I gotta click this to get my third Now, what I'm telling you, I do not know why it's doing that. Let me just try it again. Anyway, there's not supposed to be a... There's like a space there. It's not supposed to be there. So, the covenant... Yeah, that's the gap I was talking about earlier. I mean, it is just amazing how nothing works. I could go off on a sermon on how nothing works. The Christian work ethic is dead, and we get nothing but junk. Just like communist Russia. They killed God in Russia, they like to say, and they killed their ethics and they killed their products. And that's what's happening in America. But anyway, the next thing then is after the confirmation of the covenant, halfway through that 7-year period is when Revelation 12:6 happens. And that starts the countdown of the final 1,260 days before the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you're getting all that. I think it's as simplistic as I can make it, but it can still be confusing if you're not paying attention. I mean, I can tell you, there's simple things I've had to watch over and over until I finally paid attention. And then when I paid attention, I'm like, oh, yeah, obviously, you know? And that's how simple this is, but I know you're tired Wednesday night. Pay attention to what I'm saying here, and you'll grasp this point that the rapture, which could happen at any moment, clears the way for the confirmation of the covenant, which would be a 7-year countdown, and Revelation 12 happens halfway there. So you've got 1,260 days after the confirmation of the covenant. Add on a few months to the rapture. So from the time of the rapture, you're less than 4 years to the fulfillment of Revelation 12. Less than 4 years, less amount of time than it has been. It is between elections of presidents. Less than one presidential term between now and Revelation 12 being fulfilled. Read verse 6, we're there already. Read verse 6 with me. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. So, why are they fleeing? Because the whole world is against them. In the backdrop of this is that God is already bringing all the Jews back to their land. But He's not done. Something else is going to happen. We're going to talk about in just a second what I believe is clearly going to happen. That's going to get all the Jews that are still not in Israel into Israel. And then once they're in Israel, 3.5 years in the tribulation period, they're all going to Petra. So the stage is set. Jew hate is reaching historic levels worldwide. And I'll tell you, you're not going to get a lot of this from the mainstream news media. They don't talk much about it. But here's it. Every once in a while, even the New York Times will run an article like this. And this is in England. And it says, anti-Semitism is back from the left, right, and Islamist extremes. Why? And that's Macron, I think, in France there. So it's France. But they were talking about all over Europe, United States of America, Africa, even in places like Japan where they don't even have Jews. And yet, there are people putting swastikas over things and blaming the Jews for the ills of Japan. It's just an amazing thing going on. It's a book I read is by Daniel Jonah Goldhagen called The Devil That Never Dies. And that is a fulfillment of prophecy there. Whenever the Jews killed Jesus Christ, they said, His blood be upon our heads and upon our children. And God said, that's what's going to happen. They're going to be scattered all over the world. They're going to be hated by everybody. They're going to be hunted like dogs until the end time when He will gather them back in the land. And even then, Revelation 12 describes it's darkest before the dawn. So right before Jesus returns to save them from the Antichrist and the world armies while they're in Petra, that's when He returns. I mean, it's going to look like they have met their end. It's going to look like the Antichrist is going to succeed where Hitler failed when Jesus returns. So you have these books like this one. And I want to caution you with this, though, because he sees the factual story of Israel killing their Messiah and the consequences. He sees that as anti-Semitism, and he blames the Bible. Instead of recognizing the Bible's just telling you how it is, amen? The Bible's just saying, here's what happened. You wonder why those Jews are always hated and hunted and killed, and they're going to be all the way up to the time Jesus returns. This book tells you the story. This book didn't make it happen. It simply is telling you what happened. Why what's happening has happened and is happening and will happen. So, you have... Remind you of that article. It talked about the left, the right, and Islamists. See? Well, the right, I want to start with. It's simply a fact. Now, another thing you want to really grasp here. It's a fact. Non-dispensational Christian and non-Christians fall into this category. The so-called, what they like to call the right. The Christian right is made up of mostly people who are pro-Israel. But there's a lot of people who are Christian, or professing Christian, and they're not a part of the Christian right. But they're still right politically. Is that too confusing? Do you understand what I mean by that? Yeah, that's the big thing. Here's a sample of the right Jew haters. White supremacists like KKK, David Duke. How many of you don't know who David Duke is? Because not everybody does. David Duke was a guy who ran for president back in, I think, 88. And he didn't really have much of a chance to win. But the news media made him into this big deal so that they could get people to turn on the TV to see all the drama. And they made him a household name. And so David Duke's one of the biggest white supremacists to ever exist in the world, in America. And you have what people are called white nationalists, which they've tried to accuse Donald Trump of being. White supremacists. Or white nationalists. Huh? Well, let me explain. Here's why Donald Trump is called a white nationalist. It's because most journalists are stupid. He's a nationalist, and he's white. That doesn't make you a white nationalist. A nationalist, a nationalist is someone who says, I want to put the interest of my nation before other nations. George Washington, by their definition, was a white nationalist. So was Thomas Jefferson. So was Abe Lincoln, and so was Jefferson Davis. I mean, all throughout history, our leaders have all been white nationalists according to their definition. Because they were nationalists, and they were white. But anyway, the white identity is another group. There's a group called Christian Identity. You ever heard of that? It's white people who claim to be Christians, who are white only, and they're very anti-Israel. That was my first introduction to this stuff. I would think I was about 20 years old, and there was a gun shop down in Madison County somewhere. I think it might have been right outside of Mount Sterling at the time. And they had a stack of these newspapers, and it was called Christian Identity. And I'm thinking, well, I identify as a Christian. Yeah. So I took one, and I went home and started reading it. I'm like, I mean, the pictures and the descriptions and the things they said about the Jews, it's horrible. And that's when I did a little study and I found out more about groups like this. But Roman Catholic, I'm just going to do it as they come up. They're coming out of order. Roman Catholic conservatives are very anti-Semitic. And always have been, actually. And one guy, we have one of his books over here, I think, Pat Buchanan, you remember him? And he's just very anti-Israel, and he's not...